This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Jews weren't allowed to marry into the Amonim and the Moabim, and they had done so over the years, and they had to correct their family lives. And it says there, and they found written in the Torah, al Ovdon HaTorah, and this would seem to indicate a break in the tradition in the Masoreth, that there was a period in Jewish history where they didn't know, and who knows what happened during that period, and then it had to be reconstructed, but there was a break. So perhaps the Masoreth that continued after the time of Ezra was not the same Masoreth as continued as existed before. That's what's worrying the Kuzari. How do we know that even during that period, where there seems to have been a shikchas haTorah, there seems to have been a certain degree of forgetting the principles of the Torah, how do we know that the Masoreth continued? Are you implying then, says the Chovir to the Kuzari, that we today are on a higher level than they were in the time of Ezra? Because we know the whole Torah. We haven't forgotten anything. We know that you've got to make sukkahs. We know that Moavim and Ammonim are not permitted to intermarry. So are you suggesting that we know more than they knew in the time of Ezra? Omar HaKuzari, Ken, and Yoma, yes. Says that's exactly what I'm saying. We know more than they knew in the time of Ezra. Seems this reductionism was even even the Kuzri was prepared to say that. Omar Echover.
Today it's the Chover.
Did you follow that? Omar Echover answers the Chover. Ima yinu ayoim mitzubim lahakriv korbonis. If today we had to bring a korban, let's say Mashiach came now. This morning Mashiach came and rebuilt the Beis Hamikdash, we had to bring a korban. Would we know how to perform the shechita for the korban exactly? Is it sad and exactly on which side? The kibul domo, exactly how to receive the dam, in what kind of kelim, and how to do it? And how to strip the animal and break the animal up? And how many pieces to cut the animal into, veich nakriv, and how to sacrifice it, veich nizrek hadam, and how to bring the dam to the mizbeach and to sprinkle it on the mizbeach, umin chosui beniskri, and how to bring the flour that has to come with it, and how to bring the wine that has to come with it, v'ashir aroy loymer olav, would we know exactly what tehillim have to be said with it, umasha koinim chayovim boi mekedusha v'tairo meshicho v'godim v'tchunois. Would we know exactly how to get the Kohanim ready with the degree of Kedusha they needed and Taro, and how to anoint the Kohanim, what clothes they would have to wear, ve'ech eichlim ha-Kohanim ha-Kodshim, and how Kohanim eat trume, whose maneim and mokemoisom, and when and what place, v'zula zebimashi yarich sipuru, and all the other many things that are associated with it? Would we know how to do that today? Omer ha-Kuzri loy ne'edo, elo mikreinu novi, no? We would need a kohen or a novi. We wouldn't be able to work it out ourselves. We wouldn't know what to do. Omar Rechover, so says the Chover, Alo Roiso Anshe Bai Sheni Ech Bono Amizbeach. Look at the people in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. They knew how to build a mizbeach. Ad Sheozrom Ha'elokim Al Binyan Habayis, with miraculous divine assistance, they were able to build the Beis Hamikdash. V'Achalkin Binyan Hachoymon, to build the wall. Hatachshev Shoyu Makrivim Mibli Sedek Kefi Sheyizdamin. After having built a Beis HaMikdash with the approval of the Ribbono Shel Olam, do you think they didn't know how to bring a korban? Omar HaKuzri, lo yitochin shetiyeh oile ishe reach nichoach v'hi mitzvah she'eno sichlis. It's not possible that they could have brought korbonus, which is not an intellectual mitzvah, it's not the kind of mitzvah you can work out yourself. Ad sheyishlumu kol chelkeo b'rishus ha'beri v'mitzvoso. They must have known in completion, with in totality, all the different parts of the halachas of these korbonus. They must have known the mitzvah of Yom HaKippurim and exactly what kind of avodah needs to be done and how to be done, mashu godul me'asukah, and things which are even more important than sukkah. And they all need access to enormous wisdom and to ready teachers. Omar Echover, so the Chover says, umi shiyodea eile hadikdukim batoiro. So is it feasible that a person who knows the Torah with such accuracy, that every detail of bringing a korban, the whole of kodshim, he knows exactly how to bring the korbanos, how to shecht and how to be zorik the dam and how to split up and how to do this and that and to build the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach and everything with the approval of the Ribbono Shel Olam, every detail of Seder Kodshim they knew. Hayaleh mimenu asus hasukkah? Do you think they didn't know how to build a sukkah? Do you think that was lacking? They didn't know that. It doesn't make any sense. So you've got a problem with the Posuk and the Chemya, we'll deal with that. But the fact is that what you're suggesting, says the Chover to the Kuzri, doesn't make any sense. To suggest that the Posuk means Kipshuta, that the Posuk simply means that they didn't know about the Mitzvah Sukkah, that doesn't make any sense at all. They must have known about the Mitzvah Sukkah. Good. So how do you explain the Pasuk? It says they found, they discovered in the Torah, it says you've got to build a sukkah. What does that mean? If they knew all the details, what kind of a discovery was this if you had to build a sukkah? And the Chover now gives a very important yesod in Tanakh. Omar Echover, Hatam Haborur Hu, Shekosev Hamikro Lohirgish Lenistorus, Aval Kosov Hamefursomus Hagiluyus. The authors of Nach, the Nevi'im who wrote the Tanakh, made reference only to well-known events. They didn't write many, many things that weren't known at that time. They didn't write in any event. For Loi Hesik, for example, Mi Yehoshua, Mi Chochmoso Shekibel Me Elokimu Mi Moshe Dover. All the wisdom that Yehoshua learned from Moshe and from the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's no reference to it in Sefer Yehoshua. It doesn't talk about it. V'azocho Yom Amidas HaYarden, it talks about him standing at the Yarden, V'yom Amidas HaShemesh, and the day that the sun stood still, and the moon stood still. V'yom Hamila Ba'avur Pirsumam Etzel Hamoin, the day that he mulled Bnei Yisrael. Ba'avur Pirsumam Etzel Hamoin, because those were already well-known facts. And the Novi wanted to retain them well-known, he wanted to keep them well-known. Sorry? The Mila, he gave them a Bris Mila before they came into Israel. So he only those things which were well known at that time were then recorded in Nach to remain well known for all times. That there are thousands and thousands of episodes and events and all sorts of things that took place which nobody knew about and which were not then publicized. And so it tells us about the stories of Shimshon and Dvoira, Gidon, Shmuel, David, Shlomo. It doesn't tell us the Shiurim they gave and the Torah they taught. Doesn't mention anything about that. What about all that? That's not referred to. And any of the things that they showed and learned in the Torah that it doesn't talk about. What does it talk about Shlomo? The Su'udas he made, the great parties he threw, and his wonderful wealth. What does that mean? That it doesn't, because it doesn't refer to his Chochma in Torah, because it doesn't refer to the fact that he was a big Talmid Chochem as well, that he was the Godel of that generation. Does that mean he wasn't? Because there's no reference was made to it. What does it tell us in Sefer Melachim? Of all his wisdom, this most wonderful king, what does it tell us about? The one time we really see his wisdom expressed is in the case with the two girls that came, remember the two women that came with a baby and he suggested splitting the baby. That's the all it says. Because that was publicized, that was reported in all the newspapers of the time, and it was kept, it was preserved. That his chokhmah, exactly what his wisdom entailed with the queen of Sheba, that he doesn't say. Because all that the author intended to record were those things which were already at that time known to all the people, and not to publicize the others. So the purpose of Tanakh is not to publicize Maiselach that nobody knew about. Once they're already known, then there's value in retaining them, but not to reveal all sorts of things which happened. That doesn't have to be. That's not the style of the Torah, to reveal episodes and things which are not relevant to public knowledge. But all the things which affected the Yechidim, that's lost to us. Only a little bit of it is left. In each generation, there are all sorts of things that take place, and they're not recorded in writing. there's some people who know about it and they pass it on from generation to generation, and those who don't know don't know. That's all that there is to it. This business of writing biographies of the Gedolim is a very recent thing. It's only the last few years. It's a very recent thing. Writing all the Maisala up until then, these things were passed down to the people who needed to know them, and that was it. It was a personal handing down, and the fact that the majority of people never knew about it is good. That's how it's always been. And so the Kuzri, that's how it was in the time of the Tanakh as well. Only those things which were well known were recorded. And also the fine words of Nevuah, which were so pleasant to people and needed to be taught because of the importance of their concept and the clarity of their words. So where there was public interest in recording the Nevuah, it was recorded, and otherwise it wasn't. Because I'll say there were many, many Nevi'im who aren't even referred to. The Nevi'im that we have is only a small proportion of the number of the Nevi'im that were. The only Nevi'im that were recorded were those whose message was an eternal message. But people who spoke just to that Nevi'im, who spoke just to that generation, we don't even have their Nevuah recorded. There's nothing left of it. How much does it tell us of what Ezra and Nehemiah said? They lived a whole lifetime. Where's all their Torah? Where's all their Nevuah? Is it a few pages of Tanakh? That's all they did with their lives, with those few pages? No, only those which were said publicly in the major public speeches, those are recorded in Tanakh. The private sessions they had with their Talmidim, that was Torah Shebaal Peh, and that's not part of recorded Tanakh. And that day when they learned, when they read from the Torah and everybody was there and about the making of the sukkah, that was a public day. It motivated them to go looking for their schach. It says immediately afterwards, when they heard about the sukkah, they immediately went to look for trees of olive trees and hadas and tamorim and etzovis, and to put together their arba minim so that they would be able to have a sukkah. What does it mean? They discovered it written. The tzoyne lomar, that means sheshomu am ha'oretz v'ha'hamoyin v'chordu lasu yisasukis. The Ame Oritz and the Hamoyin, when they heard it, it immediately motivated them to get busy with sukkahs. But the Yechidim, the leaders, the Rabbonim, the Talmidei Chachomim, the Kohanim, no mitzvah was ever lost to them. So he differentiates between the Hamoyin Am, between the masses, and the Talmidei Chachomim. The Hamoyin Am have to be reminded. It's not that they didn't know about the mitzvah of sukkah. They get involved in their work during the year, and all of a sudden Sukkot is upon them. And Ezra takes out the Sefer Torah and he reads the parasha of Sukkot, and all of a sudden they realize it's nearly Sukkot, they've got to get busy, and it motivates them immediately to go and get busy. But not that Klal Yisrael didn't know about the mitzvah of Sukkot. That cannot be. The Kivein HaKosev, and the author's intent was Lahagdil Inyan Ayo Mahu, to magnify the importance of that particular day. As was his intention when he mentions further on the day that they divorced their foreign wives, their non-Jewish wives, because it was a day of great event, it was an important historic event at that time, for the people to divorce the mothers of their children. That's a very difficult thing. It's an unnatural thing for an entire nation to realize that the mothers of their children they aren't supposed to be married to, and to divorce them. And it is unlikely that any other nation apart from ours would have accepted upon themselves such an activity. Everybody had one go to divorce their wives because they weren't permitted to be married to them. That's why it tells us that, not because they happened to them. There were many shiurim that were given and many important occasions which aren't mentioned at all. That has national historic relevance to show the greatness of Klal Yisrael and their dedication to the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'apirsum ha'mamad hazeh omar v'yimotzu kosu. And in order to make clear, to publicize that particular event, he says, and they found it written. Ritzoni lomar ki kasher hagiya akirei elam ha'oretz. When the reader of the Torah, the person who was reading to the Hamoyin, to the Amei Ha'oretz, when he got to this parsha, el lo yovoy amini umeavi, when he came to the parsha of him, that Namoni and Moavi mustn't come into Klal Yisrael, Chordu Ha'om, the people became Choredim, they became afraid, they became aware of the halacha. It motivated them, it moved them. That's what it's telling us. That they discovered something new in the Torah, not that they didn't know the halacha, but that they felt the halacha with a new urgency. And there was a tremendous resurgence of feeling for halacha on that day, and they acted upon it immediately. That's what it wants to tell you. Not that they discovered an intellectual piece of information that they didn't know before. There are two kinds of knowledge. There's a knowledge which moves one and affects one, and there's knowledge which doesn't affect one. And there can be a situation, there are many halachas that we know also, that when it comes to keeping them, we're not quite as careful as we should be. We know that that's the halacha, but one slips up sometimes. And there's another kind of knowledge where the knowledge is so urgent and the knowledge is so sharp that it moves one to act. Vayimotsu kosu refers to the effect that the Hamoyin Am found in these words, that they heard it being listened and it came to them with such power that they immediately acted. In the case of Sukkot, they immediately went out to find their Arba Minim. They didn't wait a moment. In the case of their marriages, they immediately divorced their wives. They didn't wait for a moment. They realized this had to be rectified straight away. That's the meaning of Vayimotsu Kosu. There was no break in the tradition. The Gedolei Yisrael and the leaders of Israel at that time weren't affected in any way by this. They knew it absolutely, and that's the way they'd lived. But they were able to bring it to the attention of the Hamoyin Am in a way that they had never previously fully appreciated the value and the urgency of those halachas. That's what it means, but not that Chas V'Shalom there was any kind of a break in the tradition. That being the case, next week the Kuzari asks him to actually run through the Masoris, to show him the generation by generation, and which he does. And he starts off right at the time of the Bayis Sheni, and he runs through all the generations with the greatness of each one right until his generation, explaining the unbroken chain, or recalling the unbroken chain of Masoris, which is now becoming the critical tradition. The written law that he's got, there's no difficulty with that. The question is to clarify in his mind the importance and centrality of Torah Shebaal Peh, and that the way the Karaites learn is totally unacceptable. And he's finally coming to the point where he now accepts that there has been an unbroken chain of tradition, and he wants the unbroken chain of tradition to be taught to him. In fact, who learned from who, what each generation had and what each generation contributed, which the Chovah does in the next week. In 2 weeks' time, I'm sorry, there won't be a shiur next week.
In 2 weeks' time. Dr. Bauer, I'm sorry, I didn't realize.